This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and maybe even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Get ready now.
This
OMG
is the Rich Eisen Show.
No other way to put it.
With guest host Andrew Siciliano.
Oh my gosh.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm not talking to you. I talk to anybody out there, the haters.
Rich Eisen.
I talk to the haters right now.
Today's guests, NFL Network reporter Mike Garofolo, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, Joe Varden, best-selling author and golf writer Alan Shipnuck. And now, sitting in for Ridge, it's Andrew Siciliano.
Buckle up for 3 hours of should that have been a flagrant foul on Angel Reese.
Stop.
Three consecutive hours. Should that have been a flagrant?
I'm going home.
Should it have been a flagrant?
I'm going to the golf
course. Was she going for the ball? Did she mean to knock Caitlin Clark atop her head?
You're the worst.
Did she mean it?
We're not friends anymore.
This segment brought to you by Linens and Things.
We're not friends anymore.
Did she mean to knock her upside the head? Yeah, everybody. I kid. How is everybody?
Hey.
I hope you had a fantastic weekend.
What's up?
Thanks for being here, friends. My name is Andrew. I am sitting in for Rich today. Judging by the Instagram, Rich and Susie are having a fantastic time on vacation.
Must be nice.
It looks lovely. TJ, good to see you.
Hey, brother. Happy Father's Day to all you guys who celebrated yesterday.
Hope you had a good one. Fantastic. Thanks. And happy Father's Day to you, Brockman.
Hey, thank you. Well, I'm pimping my son's golf game on Instagram these days.
The great Cage Brockman, who, if you follow Chris,
he's putting in work, yo.
Or Sarah on the InstaFace or the Twitter, you can see that Cage is so good right now. He likely could have made a 3-foot putt on 18 at Pinehurst 2 yesterday.
3 feet 9 inches with the wicked break.
Yes.
Come on now.
He's got the fist pump down.
He's got the fist pump. He's got the caddy outfit. He's got the hat. He's got the follow through. He does not have a fifth major, but neither does Rory today either. Regardless, ooh. I hope everyone had a fantastic
week. He needs
weekend.
A sponsor if anyone in the golf world is listening.
He does.
I mean,
is this Rich's best at everything?
Should I take this down? Not for the free stuff, right?
Okay. Do I want to take this down?
Well, you don't have any children or pets.
I do not have any kids. I do not have any pets.
There you go.
Take I feel down. Bad though. Like I feel like I'm.
Well, you do leave it up.
It's like you go into someone's house, you turn around the photos or something. Like,
do you do that if you stay in an Airbnb and there's photos? Do you just like, this is not my family?
I feel weird when staying at an Airbnb where they do have photos there. That's really weird.
But if it's your why would you have your own photos if it's an Airbnb?
It just feels weird. I haven't done that in a while. Like most of the Airbnbs I've stayed in are ones where it feels like either people A, take the photos down. We'll get to the golf in a second, I promise. Or B, just don't have them up because it's a rental property kind of feel anyway.
I mean. By the way, and Vrbo, I don't discriminate. I'll use
No, of course. Yeah, no, not at all. Anyway, regardless, Yeah, let's get to the golf. Again,
let's do it.
Happy Father's Day weekend. Belated happy Father's Day to my dad. Yesterday, the gift truly is in the mail. It will get there, I think, by Wednesday. I'll check the email during
I was just glad my dad answered my FaceTime because we don't talk that much.
He answered your FaceTime?
He did.
Okay. Were you surprised?
Well, I was like, he was in Colorado, so I wasn't sure what type of service he was going to have, but he was like, oh, hey, it's okay. You. You're still was, here.
Did, hold on real quick. Dad, I love you in advance here. I'm looking at the camera here. Did he answer the FaceTime like this and you just saw his cheek? No? Because I've gotten those before.
No, but that's great.
It's like, yes? I'm like,
Dad. How old is your dad?
My dad's 79. Dad, no. Look at this. It's he's the only other once or twice.
That's great.
Fella, what'd you do for Father's Day yesterday? Love it. Did you go see your pops?
No, I FaceTimed him as well.
There you go.
Okay. Hung out at home.
Love it.
I thought it was one of the more touching Father's Day moments. Like, we could talk about Rory missing the putts and blowing the lead and all that. But sure. when Bryson, Tirico's first question was about the crowd and the energy and all that, and he turned it. He got to that eventually. He thanked the fans and the greatest fans in the world and all that. But Bryson, after winning the U.S. Open, his second U.S. Open, won at Wingfoot and now won here at Pinehurst, turned it around and did the, hey, I lost my dad a couple of years ago. This is Father's Day. Yep. The U.S. Open very often, Father's Day weekend, obviously. And that was a warm, touching, awesome moment as the transformation is complete. Bryson DeChambeau, man of the people, lovable, huggable human that won the U.S. Open. And the story quickly went from, oh, my God, Rory, that's the worst thing I've ever seen and my heart aches for you, to, wow, I want to give Bryson a hug. That guy is lovable, and that guy is what golf so badly needs. A needle mover for whom you will tune in. Now, it was a major. It's Father's Day. It's the U.S. Open. It's Sunday. You're going to watch regardless. And he has been that guy. And look, I know he could be the live bad guy as well. But that's not the point. Bryson was this amazing human figure who couldn't hit a fairway to save his life yesterday. He couldn't hit a fairway with a fistful, with $4.3 million actually on the line. Okay? Not for a fistful of 50s. He couldn't. But every time he found a way to get up and down and get the save.
Every time.
And when there's a tree root that looked like it was going to snap his club in half, right? And he's ducking. He can't even stand up straight. And how many backswings did he take there?
Under the tree.
He took 50 backswings.
It was just kind of like, can I get there? How far? What is my angle?
Right.
What is my speed going to be coming out? How is this route? Am I going to snap my arm? Am I going to snap my club? Am I going to hit it in the bunker? It was unbelievable.
And then, ooh, it's in the bunker.
And it's a long bunker shot. 55 yards. That is no joke.
55 yards.
Maybe the hardest shot in golf.
55 yards, right? Oh, this is, of course, you know, with Rory missing the putt again. What, 9,000 consecutive putts inside of 4 feet, and then you miss two in three holes.
Exactly.
456, I'm sorry. And then he won. And I love NBC's, like, remix where they showed it sound full, like, eight consecutive times from different angles. And so you saw the primal, you heard the primal scream eight different times from all the different angles. And then it immediately got to... And I hate to do this, but it is a legitimate conversation. It's the topic bar battle. Did Rory lose or did Bryson win? And I'm not going to give an answer because both are true. And this isn't like me with a significant other trying to like, no, honey. Both can be true. Let's split it right down the middle. I'll say I'm sorry. You say I'm sorry. Like, both can be true. That's not what this is. Like, both are true. If Rory just somehow makes that putt on 18, we're in a playoff. Okay? Just make...
Which we deserve, as golf fans, we deserved a playoff yesterday. Rory, I can't understand. If you only watched, like, the last hour... you thought that, man, Rory really stunk. No, Rory played
amazing.
One of the best rounds I've ever seen him play yesterday. He hit 3 25-foot birdie putts. He was draining everything. He was automatic. He was the best player in the world yesterday. Bryson couldn't hit a fairway if you just let him drop it in the middle, but he made every up and down. He saved everything. He shot one over and won the U.S. Open yesterday. It was the highest of high drama. It was the peak of the sport. It was incredible.
It was as good and as dramatic and as edge of your seat days of golf at a major that you can and will remember. It was that good. It's what, I don't want to say it's what golf needs.
Instant classic.
I'm not going to go there.
Instant classic.
It was a day you're always going to remember watching. And both are true. Okay? As awesome, as heartwarming, as humanizing, as bro-centric as Bryson's win was.
Yeah.
Okay? The idea, that shot of Rory standing there after signing a scorecard, waiting, watching, hoping that he can't get up and down, that he can't hit that putt, DeChambeau, that is. And then the look on his face, again, with the hat popped up a little bit,
just
that exhausted
look. An utter shock.
And then shock, and then he is out the door.
Out skis.
Didn't speak to the media.
Which, right? I love Rory so much. He's my favorite golfer right now, not named Tiger Woods, and like got to kill him a little bit for that.
For not talking to the media?
You got to stand there and take the questions, man. Like, everybody's done it after big losses. Greg Norman did it at the Masters. John Vandeveld did it at the British. You got to stand there and say, I blew it. And you got to get those quotes, and you got to kind of face the music. And I don't even know if he's playing this week. There's an elevated event this week. I don't know if he's withdrawn or whatever.
At last check, he's still in.
And obviously, he's going to get asked about it. I wouldn't be shocked if he pulled out. That'll cost him. He'll get fined for that. But got to face the music after that, man. Got to give Bryson his props. Got to stand up there and say, all credit to Bryson. He made every shot possible. That was an unbelievable bunker shot. Credit to him. Second major. Congrats. Got to do it. It's part of the deal.
I guess. You're right. You're totally
and
right.
And I love the guy. I was gutted for him yesterday. Unbelievable. A total of 6-foot putts. He misses the shorty 2.5 feet on 16, and he does it again on 18, you know, almost 4 feet. Come on. Oh, it's devastating.
I was trying to think of a parallel. And this isn't 28-3 what we saw yesterday.
No, definitely not.
It was not that. At all. But he did give it away.
Yeah.
He gave it away.
He had a 2-shot lead with 5 to go.
He gave it away to a guy that couldn't hit a fairway. Now, but who had the save on 18 again, like he had saved his own rear end the entire day.
He was phenomenal. In the trees on 16 with just a narrow window to get it out, got it out, then hit the chip up and made the 4-footer. Unbelievable. I can't say enough how unbelievable Bryson was at saving par yesterday. And in a U.S. Open at this course that was playing so difficult, saving par is the name of the game. Bryson did it. That's why he got the trophy today.
And Rory gave it away.
Both are true.
It's that odd topic bar battle where there's no wrong answer. And you have to sit here and wonder aloud, especially after watching the putt on 18, Rory's putt on 18, how one overcomes that mental hurdle for the world to see. Because there was, when you're 479 of 479 and then you miss two putts like that, that's up here. That's up here. That's not physical. And when it's been a decade trying to get that fifth, a decade, and you are so supremely talented. I mean, when you rip off 3 out of 4 birdies there, Like when he was
I thought he was going to win by four after that.
You know what? I mean, it was almost like Jordan against the Blazers with his hands out. Like, you know, the hoop looks like he's throwing it in the ocean. You know what I'm talking about?
Only two par fives on the course, so 10 is one of them. Yeah. He makes birdie on 10. The birdie on 9 was so impressive. And then he does it again. I thought it was over. Did you think it was over?
Yes. Look, I left the house for a little bit. It was a beautiful day. I'm like, I've been sitting on the couch all afternoon. I'm going to get back for the last 3-4 holes. I'm going to go on a run.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was listening on my Sirius XM app on my phone.
PGA Tour channel.
While working out. Yes. And by the way, if you're on Sirius XM right now, we're Sirius 161, XM 206, and online 998. And I was listening, and I'm like, wait a minute, 3 out of 4? I'm like, I am running home. I wasn't going to run home regardless. I was going to make it home. But you're like, at this point, he's on fire,
yeah,
so to speak.
NBA Jam style?
NBA Jam style.
He's on fire.
Nothing better when you make the first two shots and he's heating up.
He's
and you make the third.
Up. He's on fire. Alan Chipnuck, by the way, legendary golf writer, is going to join us in a couple hours for his perspective on this. And speaking of old video games, Friday night when the Celtics emptied their bench because the game was over, was at a buddy's house who has an old school NES that works.
Whoa.
Yeah, you had to blow on the cartridges a little bit.
Yeah, man.
RBI Baseball, Friday night. That nice. Was my Friday night.
Hey-o.
RBI Baseball. Tom Henke blew the save.
Oh, man.
After a third IPA. You know how angry that made me?
That damn Henke.
Tom Henke
blew the save.
With the glasses.
RBI Baseball. Do, 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 do. Remember that? Do, do.
This segment brought to you by Andrew's ADD.
Do, 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 do. Did he say by Andrew's ADD?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, fun times.
Anyway, it was awesome. If you didn't watch yesterday, please find a replay and watch it if you're a golf sicko, because it was unbelievable. The golf was amazing. Ah, that's sport right there in a nutshell.
Okay, good times. I digress. This is the Rich Eisen Show. My name is Andrew. You're watching on the Roku channel. We're here for 3 hours. We are at Rich Eisen Show as well on the Twitters and the Instagrams. Rich is back when, by the way?
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Okay, fantastic. He is jetting back from overseas. He will be back tomorrow. Coming up next, it is the NFL offseason. And we'll get back to the golf, I promise. I promise. And you want to do the old, here, you want to throw out the old, did Rory lose it or did Bryson win it?
No, I'm not going to do that.
You don't want to do that?
That pains me even just to type
too
that.
Too easy? Okay, you don't want to do that? Is that too
no, how about
low-hanging
this one?
Fruit?
Team more likely to, you want to do blow the 3-0 lead or come back from a 3-0 deficit?
Say that again?
You want to do the team more likely to blow the 3-0
team
lead?
Team more likely.
Celtics, Panthers, or team more likely to win it after being down 3-0.
There you go. Do that one.
Mavericks,
okay.
Oilers.
Let's do that. Let's also do, are the Panthers really a Miami sports team? You want to do that one as well?
Yes. They, okay. I mean, don't they play in the same arena as the Heat?
You and I are on the same page here, but there's this thing going on Twitter that they're not a Miami team. They're a Florida team. You haven't caught wind of this?
No.
Oh, yeah.
You think people in Jacksonville care about the Florida Panthers?
No. But there are people in Miami pushing back, claiming it's not a Miami team. You haven't heard this. I can't believe that.
What do you mean? All of Levitard's show, which is a Miami show, they're all Panthers fans.
I'm just saying. I'm not making this up.
All right.
So, yeah, do your thing about more likely, blah, 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 whatever that was.
Got
okay. And then coming up as well, Mike Garofalo is going to be here. Now that Trevor Lawrence got his deal done, and I'll tell you why it was the right deal, even at $55 million, will Tua get a deal done? That's coming up.
This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you still playing fantasy football? You still doing that?
Not really. No, I'm in a league, but I don't control it. One of my buddies controls it for me.
Well, because I know we've had conversations about this before, and that there are some interesting, tasks that the loser of this league must undertake. So, are you, if you lose, even though you're not part of the day to day?
Oh yeah, they'll hold me to it. Absolutely. I don't even know if I could tell you who's on my team right now, but. If I were to lose, they would absolutely hold me to it, and we'd have to go take care of business.
What are some of the fails that I guess that you have to do? What are some of the responsibilities of the losers of your league? What is
last year the loser had to go to Alaska for a day?
What do you mean, like for a for a day?
Yeah.
Okay.
They went to a place called Nome, Alaska. That's where the Iditarod, it goes through there, I think.
Yeah, so the loser,
flood race,
regardless of the geographic spot in the United States, would have to, for a day, get on a plane and proof of purchase of the ticket and then take a photo. Like, how do you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was tasks involved. It was, I think he went in March.
Okay.
But it was a whole thing. And that was just 1 year. That was just last year. This year, it'll be entirely different.
What other previous years? Any other examples? Because that's amazing. You have to go to Nome, Alaska.
The year before, the loser, Barstool Sports does the Rough and Rowdy, the boxing deal. He fought in that. At the Super Bowl, the year we were there, he was fighting in the boxing on Friday night before the game there.
Oh my gosh, yeah. This is you do not want to lose your fantasy league, Jeff.
No, you don't. No, that's why I try to put a lot of faith in my buddy that's running the point.
The Jared Goff Fantasy League. Lose and you go to Nome, Alaska. Fun times. All right.
Very far. That's where the Iditarod ends. Do
yes.
People know
it's really hard to get there.
It's very far.
Exceedingly hard to get there. This conversation.
Like if you think of Alaska, if you look at the map, you think of it as like a bear.
Uh-huh.
It's like the hand that's sticking out. It's mm-hmm. that little part that sticks out. It's very far.
It's also very, very difficult.
You can see Russia from there. I
think. You can see Russia from there. Yes. You can look out your window and see Russia from there.
Back porch, front porch.
That is an 06 Sarah Palin reference.
Wow. Way back machine. Hi, my name's Andrew, sitting in for Rich, who's back tomorrow.
Wait, Lisa Ann said that, right? Oh, no, it was Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin.
We will get back to the golf and then three more hours of was it a flagrant foul in Angel Reese momentarily. In the meantime,
is this going to be your running bit today?
Obviously,
you told me you didn't want to talk about it, so we're gonna tease it throughout the entire show.
I want a Caitlin-free show. Honestly,
we will in the meantime discuss the NFL because there's always room for football, even though this is the off season, and there's always room for Mike Garafolo as well, my good friend from the NFL Network. Even though it is vacation time and he should be spending time with his family, he is kind and gracious enough to give us a few minutes. Hi, Mike. Mm-hmm.
No, there are no vacations when your kids are out of school. Today was the last day for my daughter. So now I got to figure out what to do with her for the next 3 months or whatever it is.
Good luck with that, man.
Which is why Nome, Alaska sounds awesome right now.
Has she ever seen Nome? I mean, she could see the snow, the glaciers,
a
bear.
No. You're missing the point. Nome, yeah. Alaska by myself.
Oh, by where you
awesome
want to go.
Right now. Dude, yeah, I might, if I was in that league, I may have taken a dive.
Hey, man.
Sorry, honey. Gotta, you know.
I don't know if you've heard. I've got time. I'll meet you.
Listen, you and I could have a great trip. We could hike something, I'm sure, in Nome, Alaska.
We can hike something.
In the cold.
Yeah.
It's also, It's gonna be mid-90s and humid here in Jersey later this week. So whatever it is in Nome would probably be a welcome change. So yeah, I love that.
So you go to Nome, Mike Garofalo, to get away from the heat dome. Is that what they're calling it? A heat dome on the East Coast, something like that?
No. See, I was gonna go with I'm going to Nome to get away from home.
Boom. Or to get away from checking your phone for a Tua Tagovailoa contract. With Trevor Lawrence done, is he the next one? And will it be anytime soon?
I thought it was going to be done by the end of the spring. As a matter of fact, we had a me versus Ian, which whatever it is, I usually win. But a me versus Ian segment where it was like, which quarterback is going to be the next to get a deal done? Tua or Trevor, and I actually went first. I had first dibs, and I took Tua. So he beat me. Not because he knows anything better, but just because he got lucky. So I thought it was going to be done by the end of the spring. I also, to me, the number, you know, and it's not just me, but I'm based on conversations I had, the number was going to be below Joe Burrow for Tua, because this is a guy who, you know, he wants what's fair, and he's got a lot of pride, but he's also not the kind of guy to be pushing for every last penny, especially when, you know, just a short while ago, he was considering retirement, right? Like, so, you know, the difference between 55 and 53 million a year probably seems negligible for that kind of guy, because, you know, it's all gravy at this point. Once you get to that point where you go, you know what, should I not be doing this? You know, yeah, I think I could do this. I have enough faith in myself to stay healthy, which he's done. And if he's got to prove it again, that's only going to make the price go up next year for him. You know,
right.
It might get to a point where he goes, yeah, I'm not going to fight for every penny. I want what's fair, but I also want us to remain competitive. All the other reasons why you wouldn't necessarily take top dollar. But you keep pushing a guy, no matter who he is, no matter how fair he is, no matter how, you know, grateful he is, he may say, you know what? I want top dollar now. You know, you had your chance. So we'll see.
Talking to Mike Garofalo here from NFL Network, and that's the point I have always tried to make, and it's the one I made last week as well with the Trevor Lawrence contract, is that it's better to sign your guy now, especially a quarterback, than it is to sign him later, because the cost is only going to go up, the market's only going to go up, the cap is only going to go up, and if you think your guy is the guy, then lock in and do your deal for that guy now. But something, Mike, in my gut tells me that there is something bigger at play here in Miami, and that is, I guess, organizationally, I feel like this season there's a little bit more on the line. Like, can this super fun, sexy, fast sports car that runs really well in September, can it run well in January? Does it need snow tires? Can it operate? Can they win a playoff game collectively? Can this unit, can this offense that is so amazing actually be productive? And is anything in this Tua negotiation, is that holding this up at all? Like, might they just be inclined, we'll give you 23 this year on the fifth year option, and if we got to tag you next year, so be it, because we're not totally convinced.
Well, they've been talking. They continue to talk. And they will talk, from my understanding. So it's not to that point yet, Andrew, and I haven't sensed that they're getting close to that point. And this can, I mean, this could go up to week one if you wanted to. Both parties, both sides, indicated that they wanted this thing done early, which is why I thought, yeah, it would be quick and easy. And, again, I thought he would be willing to come in under Burrow, which would, you know, make sense for it to get done quickly and early in the spring, and then it didn't. So now you're at the point now where you've got to figure out if you want to get to that point where you're up against training camp or up against the start of the season, or do you want to just dig in and get this thing done in the dead time between now and the start of training camp so that it's behind you and this is not a topic of conversation during training camp? I would think you'd want that done. Trevor set the bar. Listen, I go back to what you just said, because there is another quarterback situation that's actually, to me, more interesting.
Dallas.
And it's Jordan Love.
Oh, that
not
one.
Not to say the two end isn't interesting, but Love is interesting because that's the one where if you don't pay him now, the price could be exponentially higher. But also, and I'm not saying that I'm out on him, but he doesn't have a long track record.
Nope.
Right? I mean, it's only been the one full season. Now, and I keep saying this, every time I am on air and I read or say that Jordan Love was second in the NFL in touchdown passes. I got to go back and check it. I'm like, is that right? He was second in the NFL in touchdown passes last year, and he played really well. He played really well in the postseason. He showed you the makings of a guy that they thought he was and hoped he would be, and the reason that they drafted him and groomed him the way that he did. So, you know, you could get him. He may actually wind up crossing Burrow and Lawrence. And you may say, how is that guy now the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL? Well, because of what you said, you wait on him, it could go even higher. So that, to me, is the one. I want to see how that works out. I believe it's going to get done. I believe he gets an extension this summer, and I believe it could be it for a really big number.
Jordan Love has played in 27, parts of 27 career NFL games. And yes, talking to Mike Garofalo, he did win in the postseason last year. He did go to Dallas, throw three touchdown passes, and they collectively, not all Jordan Love, but a lot of it Jordan Love, blew out the Cowboys. And that leads us then to Dak. Why does it seem like Jerry Jones is more than content to let Dak hit free agency, Mike?
It does, despite what he's been saying. I mean, I left the league meeting when Jerry spoke and indicated that they were comfortable kind of letting this play out a little bit. And everything that we heard down there was like, whoa, this is actually, yeah, this sounds like he's going to play it out and be a free agent. And then the Cowboys tried to walk it back, and Jerry and Stephen Jones both saying that it's still a priority to get him done. Now, I've been given no indication they're any closer. And when you've got the potential for $60 million sitting out there, and listen, this goes back to like Kirk Cousins after he collected a couple of franchise tags. Oh, he's betting on himself. Well, it's a lot easier to bet on yourself with, in Dak's case, $160 million off his last contract plus what he made before that in your pocket. All right? That's a lot easier bet when you're at $200 million overall in career earnings plus whatever you made off the field as well. So no doubt that he's willing to do that. I just feel like the pressure on Dak is not a monetary one. The pressure on Dak is just, you know, everything we've been talking about, you know, you can put up the numbers in the regular season and you get to the postseason, this team has got to win. This team's got to advance. We got to see the Cowboys back in the conference championship game and potentially the Super Bowl at some point. So that's the biggest thing for him. We know the pressure on the head coach, but I don't think Dak Prescott enters the season with his knees knocking at the prospect of free agency. If anything,
no.
He's played well in free agent years before.
No, if anything, he would love it. If I'm Dak, I would love it. Look, barring the major injury, and he's already gone through that, and then obviously the injury can complicate everything for any player in the NFL, but I would love it. Listen, even if they go like 9-8, okay? There are so many fingers to be pointed inevitably on that team, in that organization. He is still going to break the bank next year if he is a free agent. Things that would have to go wrong for Dak Prescott to be a free agent and not be highly compensated and sought after. Like, I can't even imagine what that story would have to be for him to hit free agency and for him to not have a long list of suitors.
No, to me, it's not monetary. It's the lore of being the quarterback of the Cowboys. And who knows? He may be done with it. Listen, at some point, Tom Brady was done being quarterback of the Patriots and wanted to go somewhere else for factors that didn't have anything to do with the team or the fan base or the location or anything like that. But he may say, you know what? Depending on how the season goes, enough of this. I got the chance to go elsewhere. Let me go elsewhere with a lot less noise. And I don't know. I'm projecting. I mean, he'll never say that. I've been given no indication that that's the case, but that may be part of it. He may want to play this out and say, let me see what my options are. Let me see what we are. You're never going to get an, I mean, let's say the Cowboys fire Mike McCarthy after the season. We know his situation, obviously. It would be a reboot from a head coaching standpoint, but you're never going to get a full reboot with the Cowboys, right? I mean, we've been talking about Belichick or whoever. It's going to be a proven coach, and it's going to be a hit-the-ground-running type situation. So I don't think it's going to be, from that standpoint, a la Matthew Stafford, where he said, you know what, I've been in Detroit. It hasn't happened. I can't sit here for another 2 years while we're rebooting. I've got to go elsewhere where I can win right away. It's not going to be that type of situation. It's just going to be a, you know, at the end of this run with Dallas, at a pivotal point in your career where at some point things are going to start to fall off, do you want to explore the possibility of playing elsewhere? Again, it's not a monetary thing. It's not a, you know, worry about suitors type of thing, you know, barring injury, like you said. But it may be just where he is in his career and what he wants to do and what he wants to see going forward.
Talking to Mike Garafolo, NFL Network. One last thing before we let you go and actually enjoy a vacation. What is the, put you on the spot here, one training camp storyline, and this is such a lazy topic bar, that is quote-unquote flying under the radar. Is there a story that you're keeping an eye on for training camp that you don't think is getting enough attention?
No, because I feel like we've hit everything. I don't know. The quarterback battles are going to be, what, in New England, in Minnesota?
Right. Ayuk or Stafford or Higgins. I guess he signed his thing. Is there anything?
Yeah.
Tyreek's contracts, Amari Cooper, like.
No, I just feel like you mentioned all these. These are all going to get sorted out
at
one point or another. Maybe. All right, hang on. Maybe Micah Parsons? Maybe.
With now, 2 years left?
When I say flight,
with 2 years left on his deal?
Just because it's just so, like, he's you know, could it result in some kind of, like, you know, trade? I've heard people speculate. To me, that seems excessive, and how can we get to that point? So maybe Micah is one where, you know, it's always got that combustibility factor. And Jane Slater, our excellent NFL Network reporter who covers the Cowboys a ton for us, we've talked about it plenty. It's like, what's this resolution going to be? You know, is Micah Parsons going to be playing for a different team in the next year, 2 years, whatever? Is he going to sign a long-term extension? It's just, that's the one. Like, when you rattle off all those other words, I'm like, they'll all get sorted out. T. Higgins will probably play on his tag, but
sure.
He signed it, so he'll be there. So this is the one where, like, if you ask me what I see coming, I have no idea. So I'll probably say that one.
Other than a trip potentially to Nome, Alaska.
Let's see if we can get a direct flight from Newark. What do you think? I'm going to say no.
Make a mileage run there in United, buddy. Mike Garafolo now with the family on vacation taking 10 minutes or 12 minutes, whatever it was. I apologize, and I thank you kindly. And have a great summer, bud.
You got it, pal. Let's chat again, even if it's not on the air.
No, you know? Let's do that. Mike Garafolo, everybody.
All right, Andrew.
Good times. See you.
Mike.
The Micah Parsons one is fascinating.
Interesting.
And he is right there about combustible. Let's go back. I know Aaron Rodgers got all this hype, whatever. There is an Aaron Rodgers story. He wasn't there. But if you remember, Aaron Rodgers was, from what I have heard, in the building the day before doing team photos, and then he bailed when the minicamp thing was actually going to start. Right. I can tell you that a couple of weeks ago, Micah Parsons was in the building doing the photos and doing the, you know, NBC intros and Amazon intros, Micah Parsons, linebacker, Penn State, right?
Right.
But then wasn't on the field the next day. Now, that was for voluntary OTAs, and that was where McCarthy got a little, you know, ticked off, not angry, but like, yeah, I wish he were out there. He was there for the mandatory part, but the thing the week before, he was not. When you're in the building but not doing everything, that can tick off the coach. McCarthy's got a lot of pressure on him this year. He wants a contract. He's admitted that as well. He doesn't like to be going into a lame duck season. But the thing about Micah is this. He has not one, but he has 2 years left. For those who don't know, little NFL contract stuff here. You're not eligible for a new contract until you've played 3 years on your rookie deal, okay? So that's why last year it was time for Herbert to get paid, right? And Joe Burrow to get paid. They were 3 years in, entering year four. They're now both entering year five, two of the same class. They didn't do it a year ago because he's coming off the concussion season. They wanted to see it again, so he played great. Now, heading into year five, he's up to get the new deal. Micah Parsons has 2 years left on his contract. There is absolutely no pressure to do the deal now. Now, for the quarterbacks, they had done it previously, for Burrow, for Josh Allen even before that. That's what you do for the quarterbacks. There's no precedent that says you must do it for everybody after year three. Justin Jefferson, they waited until after year four, for example. He was quite deserving of a new contract a year ago. They didn't get it done. So the Cowboys don't have to do it. They're paying Micah like $2 million this year or something. Whatever it is, he's affordable. Next year, fifth-year option, already picked it up. Affordable. They don't have to pay him. But if he wants to make a stink out of it, then it could be an issue. I'd say this as well. Micah is a different dude. He... He marches to the beat of his own drummer. And that can wear thin on people. That can wear thin. Not a bad guy. Heck of a player. Not a bad guy. But you can wear people down a little bit. That was very much the case coming out of Penn State. Reason he was there when the Cowboys were up was because of some of that. Doesn't mean he's a bad guy, right? Not like he dropped like Stephon Diggs did coming out of Maryland. Mm-hmm. Not like that. But, you know, fill it to the teens. Big deal. Mm-hmm. So, when you're writing a big check, and all that matters here is that Jerry Jones wants to write the check. And I've had no indication that Jerry Jones does not want to write that check, especially for Micah Parsons. Matter of fact, last year, was his, Travis Frederick? Was it? He flat out said, was it Frederick or Martin?
Had to be Martin, because Frederick was retired.
Zach Martin. It was Zach Martin. I beg your pardon. Zach Martin, last year in training camp. Thank you, TJ. He said, I can't pay Zach Martin right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I got to pay Micah in a couple of years.
True.
I mean, when's the last time you heard someone say that?
But then he ended up paying him, right?
Yes. Now, owners very often say something like, hey, you know, we got a lot of mouths to feed, have to consider long-term plans. Very rarely do you hear an owner go, hey, Brockman, I can't pay you because I got to pay TJ.
I'm okay with that.
You don't hear that. But that's what he did.
Well, here, you know,
so if he wants to pay him, he's going to pay him.
I was saying this last week, Andrew, like, rarely has there ever been a time where if Jerry wanted the guy, he's not going to sign him, right? He usually signs and pays well for the people he wants.
Correct.
The only problem is his timing. He's costing himself money because he waits so long to pay these people. And I think that's what we don't understand. That's what doesn't make sense to any of us.
I have said this 100 times, and I said it before. You want to pay your quarterback now. Or anyone now, because the player is going to go up. The cost is going to go up. And if you know that he is the guy, then do it. Like, and I am not convinced. I am not convinced that the Cowboys. Look, if the Cowboys thought Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott were truly it, they would have signed them both by now. Because by signing Dak now, okay, he's $40 million in cash and 50 something on the cap this year. Not like a fake 40. He's 40 in cash this year. And 50-something on the cap. It is hard to operate with numbers that high. Mm. Right? A lot of the numbers are funny money. You pay all the money up front.
Yeah.
Right?
Push it to the
end. Then you amortize it. So he's 40 cash this year. 50-plus on the cap this year. You want to get CeeDee Lamb done? You pay down Dak. But they're not doing that. What does that tell you? Show me something in January is what it tells you. All right. Coming up, why the Aaron Rodgers thing does matter. It does matter. I'm not angry about it, though, despite reports to the contrary. Stop laughing. It's the Rich Eisen Show. My name is Andrew. Don't go anywhere.
Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
When you're running the ball downhill, Debo, do you see people making business decisions? Is it something you're seeing as you're running downhill, Debo?
I mean, honestly, I really don't pay attention. I mean, if they move out the way, they move out the way. If they don't, you know, they just don't feel it.
But you could see it though, right? Come on now. You could see the eyes maybe getting wide, and you could see them maybe getting down a little lower than, you know, they're trying to get some leverage here.
Most people kind of turn it down, but some people out there just make business decisions and just kind of throw their body just. And I'll fall down too.
Well, I mean, that's not really happening. I'm not seeing that. Do you like the content? Do you enjoy it?
Of course. So growing up, I played mostly like running back until I kind of got to college, and then I transitioned to a wideout.
So what do you like to do if you're given a choice? Run it or catch it and run it? What's your favorite to do?
I'd rather catch it than run it.
Why is that?
Because if I catch it, I got way more space, you know. I mean, it's really not a preference, but I preferably like to catch it and run.
Okay, and you got a good story about Shanahan showing you a play, and you're like, oh, okay, that's going to work. And then it does. You got one of those?
Sir, I do not remember any of them.
None of them? Because normally we've seen that, where he just says, this is going to work. We're going to get a touchdown. Didn't he do that with Kittle once? He says, this one's going to go to the house, and then it goes to the house.
Kyle, I mean, if you watch him, and like, he's all the way down, like if we on offense, he all the way down on the other side just watching, and you can see him sometimes talking to the referee.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, now watch Kittle, this guy's about to hold, and 9 times out of 10 he holds, and then we get the flag. But a lot of plays that he calls, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. Any play that Kyle calls can end up in a touchdown.
Okay. So, it is the Rich Eisen Show, friends, and this is sturdy piece of furniture right here. This is the Rich Eisen Show desk. I took the best dad ever thing off it. Can you remind me, by the way, to put this back later?
Yeah, Rich will find it.
Put everything back. The Rich Eisen Show desk is furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com. Or just stop by. So we were talking before, Mike Garafolo and I were talking before about like what could be the storylines here once training camp begins. There are a whole bunch of contractual things going on. One of the contractual things going on is the Brandon Ayuk thing. The Brandon Ayuk contract thing. He evidently has said something on a podcast that I've yet to hear. No, it was on the TikTok, I'm told.
Yeah, on the old talk.
It was on the talk.
Yeah.
I talk about football, by the way.
I see
it.
What you did there.
Bro, what? What happened, bro? They said they don't want me back. That's so weird.
So that is Brandon Ayuk speaking to Jaden Daniels, yeah, the Commanders rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, do we know he's talking about
says
the Niners?
They don't want me back.
He could have been talking about his fantasy football league. He could have been talking about maybe like a church group.
His live golf league.
Exactly. He might have gotten in an argument at a drive-through the night before. Hey, man, they don't want me back. Yeah, they don't want me back.
I got banned from the Donald's.
Hey, I got banned.
You know what I think it was? He's talking about his bowling league team.
Bowling league.
Yeah, he could be his bowling league.
He bowled like a 112. They
but
want him back.
Can we make a point as well? He posted that on his own TikTok.
Right.
So he certainly knows that everybody will see it and make it a news story. And then people will go to page. Is he still following the 49ers on Twitter or on Instagram?
Is that what you're doing right now? You're checking to
or
see
on
if he's
X.
still following them?
Well, one of you said that this morning. Follow 49ers.
Clay Thompson. Clay Thompson unfollowed the Warriors.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was Clay Thompson unfollowed the Warriors because he's a free agent. Is that really a thing? You don't need to unfollow them. Just mute them or block them. If you block them, no one's going to know other than them, and then no one publicly has to know. If you unfollow somebody, you clearly want it to be a headline. You want it to be a headline. Here's the thing with Brandon Ayuk.
I'm checking Brandon Ayuk's Instagram.
Are you looking him up?
I'm looking up the Instagram.
Okay, while you do that, let me say this about Brandon Ayuk. He's a heck of a player who deserves a new contract. The problem is the wide receiver money has exploded, and where is the right number for Brandon Ayuk? Because as much as I love the guy, he does not and should not get the 35 that Justin Jefferson got. I'm all for everyone getting paid, but let's do the money. If Justin Jefferson's getting 35, I don't think Brandon Ayuk should get 35. I don't. A.J. Brown got 32. Is it a real 32? It's a readjustment, obviously, to that contract that he signed when they got him from Tennessee on draft day a couple of years ago. Is it a real 32? Whatever, it's 32 right now. Tyreek Hill allegedly also makes 32, but in reality, it's like 18, 19, 20, 21, somewhere in there. It's not a real 32.
He's not following the 49ers.
He's not. Brandon Ayuk is not following the 49ers, breaking news.
I don't know if he ever did.
However, exactly, do you know if he ever did?
He's still following Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
That's a shame.
Do we all follow our employers? Do you follow the Rich Eisen show?
I do.
Okay.
Can I tell you, Rich Eisen just started following me like a month ago?
Shut up.
He follows Jaden Daniels, who he was talking with on the phone.
So that means, ooh, look,
does he follow the Commanders? Because that would be amazing. He does not.
He's not getting traded to the Commanders, although Adam Peters, GM, formerly with the Niners.
Look, if he leaves anywhere, we know where he's going.
So,
the Steelers.
In all seriousness, the difficulty here on Brandon Ayuk is, what is the number? And when the bar has been raised so high, and it has now been raised to 35, and that number for Justin Jefferson sets not only a new bar for wide receivers, it sets a new bar for non-quarterbacks, and that includes a guy like Micah Parsons as well. And the math is difficult. So where is the right number for Brandon Ayuk? I think they get something done, but it is a difficult number to figure out. My estimation, my belief. Good football player. As for the Aaron Rodgers thing, I know I teased that going into break real quick. I learned a long time ago in this business, don't just scream and yell and be overly critical of people for not going to something in the summer that is, while mandatory, still football in shorts. They're in shorts. Nothing really gets accomplished, even at mandatory minicamp. It's good for the rookies, right? Dive into the playbook, the install, all that stuff. It's really important for the rookies. But for the veteran players, even though it is mandatory and it is written into the CBA and you are fined upwards of $100,000 if you skip all 3 days, it is still football in shorts and can only be so productive. Okay? That said, there are 32 starting quarterbacks in the National Football League. 31 of them were at mandatory minicamp. Only one was not at mandatory minicamp. And that's why the Aaron Rodgers story, putting a button on it, I know you guys discussed it, I'm sure ad nauseum last week, is a thing, because you're the only one that wasn't there. And moreover, when the season ended a year ago in the first week of January after the Jets got knocked out and you had your goodbye press conference, you said, in regards to the entire building and moving forward, coming off your injury from which you valiantly fought back, didn't have enough time. Medical miracle. We collectively need to cut out the BS, your words. If it isn't about football, cut it out. It's BS, cut it out. And then you don't come to mandatory minicamp and you're the only quarterback that did not. So it is a thing. Like I said, football and shorts only matter so much. But when you're the only guy that makes it a story, period, full stop, maybe you're at a darkness retreat. I would love to, honestly, I could probably use one. Go on a darkness retreat right now. I might need it. Matter of fact, I know I do. I could use it.
You need the ayahuasca?
I don't need the ayahuasca, but I could use it.
Some darkness with my
hello, darkness, my old friend.
Oh, guys. Anyway, meantime, ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. The griddle heats evenly, edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep Cook and Store system keeps cooking supplies handy. You can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate rust resistant griddle. Coming up, the poll result. How insufferable will Boston fans be tomorrow morning?
Really bad.
And consider this. Consider this. Where were you 30 years ago tonight? Think about it. 30 years ago tonight, friends.
It was a Friday.
Think about it. It was a Friday.
It was a Friday. 94. God, it was so much better back then.
There was a basketball game on that night.
A big one.
It was on NBC. John Tesh played you in and out. Uh-huh. There were Hall of Famers on the court, both coaching and playing.
Facts.
Uh-huh. Where were you 30 years ago tonight? And as mentioned tonight.
Not on the 405.
No, I was not on the 405 either.
The 10.
Never heard of it, actually, before that night.
Yep.
The Boston Celtics can win themselves a championship this evening. Brockman, are you going to go to the game? Can you make it?
Tonight?
You could, potentially.
I could have left right now in a PJ. You know yeah. someone?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anybody?
With the PJ going to Boston?
Right now.
Negative,
like,
Ghost Rider.
Like
I do
hour.
Not. No.
I bet you Wahlberg might be leaving.
I do not. Did
no.
you consider going Friday?
For like a split second, but I already had weekend plans, so it would have been tough to get out of them.
Okay. Gotcha. Have you ever been to a Boston championship clinching game?
I have. 2018 World Series, Game 5 at Chavez Ravine.
There you there. Go. So, yeah. been there, done that, check that box.
One of the best days of my life.
I would always say get on the plane and get there. If you can, I did that for the 2016 World Series Game 6. It didn't happen. And then MLB made up a rain delay to give it to the Cubs the next night.
You're not wrong. Actually.
I am not wrong.
You're not wrong.
No. But the Dodger City Connect uniforms are cool. That's next too.
Every story eventually comes to an end. This June, hear the final episode of Season 2 of the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, Durham. In the Red Clay tells the unbelievable true story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history. In the podcast that people are calling riveting, incredibly moving, captivating, and addicting. Binge Seasons 1 and 2 of In the Red Clay now, wherever you listen.